sponsor and sponsor others of this small group. And the reason it's all crazy is because this is not my first go around. I came into this home group in, I guess it was early 2006. My original sobriety was it September or something, 2005. At one point I had about 3 years sober. I don't remember if I quite made it to 3 years or not, but I was here and I was active. I guess it was hard to come back. But basically my deal was, I am an alcoholic. I did outside substances. I try not to dwell on it too much or whatever, but I am going to talk about it. So, the reason I started drinking probably 12 years old or so. My sister had a, it was kind of weird. My sisters were dating two brothers, and I thought it was kind of weird at the time. But they were older, they used to have parties at their house, and we'd go over there and drink. And, I remember the first couple times I drank, it was like two or three beers or something like that, and I get the warm, fuzzy feeling, and like the fourth beer, I start to like fall over. And I remember one time that apparently there was a hole in this kid's backyard. I fell in this hole, and I woke up there like an hour later. Apparently it was like 6 inches deep or something, but I just like couldn't function. Like, that's how I drank. I drank it very beginning. It wasn't that much, because you can't drink that much when you're 11 years old. But that was kind of just it. And that's kind of went like that. It was hard. 11, 12 years old, it's hard to get beer. We got to steal some out of my dad's refrigerator every once in a while in the garage. And, sit down, drink a beer or two, kind of get warm and fuzzy. But it was a lot easier for me to do other stuff. So that's what I did. I started smoking pot. It was easy to get. It was cheap. I'd steal money from my mom's purse and do that kind of stuff. And then I remember one day, it was probably like 14, 15, something like that, I found a stack of money. In my dad's bathroom. I don't know how much was in there, but it was like, it was a lot when I was 14. It might have been like $1,000 or something. It seemed like a lot. And I stole the whole thing. Like 20 bucks at a time, but I stole the whole thing over time. And then my dad found out. He confronted me about it, and that was the first time that I had to talk to my parents about what was going on. And I just remember telling them, this is what I'm going to do, and if you don't like it, kick me out. Really, if you got 14. It's not gonna happen. So, I came from a big family. I got two older sisters. I'm the youngest one. My parents are, everybody else in my family is, I won't say normal. My sister's kind of nuts, one of them, but I came from a big family. Like, there was no alcoholism in my family or anything like that. I was kind of problem child, black sheep, whatever. And, just kind of progressed from there. It was, as I started to get older, just drinking and smoking pot wasn't enough, so I started doing other things, and I started taking pills. It was always hard for me to get alcohol, for whatever reason. I always tried, but it was hard for me to get it. Other things were faster, they were easier, produced a similar effect, I guess. It was, whatever. I know now that the way that I drank, I didn't drink to fit in. I hear that a lot. I didn't drink because it was what other people were doing. I drank because I liked the effect produced by alcohol. And the reason that I know I'm an alcoholic, like the Oxycontin that I get doesn't matter, the cocaine that I get doesn't matter. The reason I know I'm an alcoholic is because, and it tells me in the book, once I start drinking, I have very little control over the amount I take. And sometimes I don't have control over taking the first one. And I know that to be true, so the other stuff doesn't really matter. I started to get in trouble not real soon afterwards. I mean, I was always in trouble with my parents. I didn't go to school. I remember I got in a fight, like an actual fist fight with my dad when I was 17 or 18. He had never let me, my dad wasn't abusive towards me or whatever, and I picked a fight with him because he told me that I was allowed to do things that I wanted to do, and that was... I remember feeling really bad about it afterwards, but I also remember almost an adult, you can't tell me what to do. And just like real rebellious and all that kind of stuff. I remember always wanting, I never felt like I fit in. Like, I always felt like an outsider, but I still had tons of friends, and I don't know what that was about. But I remember also, I would get really angry when people didn't give me what I wanted, and I wanted things now.
I was 1-1. My dad owns his own business. He's really successful in Ohio. He's pretty much money. He's got nice things. And I always wanted that, but I didn't want to put in the work for it. So I figured when I was 18, the best thing for me to do to get rich pretty quickly was grow pot. And sound good. Still kind of does, but I had a friend, and this is really weird. I had a friend who had a lot of money because, well, I guess it doesn't matter. He had a lot of money. And we rented this house together, and you know, he basically paid for everything. I had knowledge or expertise because I Googled how to grow pot a couple times, I guess, and he didn't know. He was expensive. And we started to do that, and that lasted for like 6 months, and I made a ton of money. You know, I was 18 years old. I had anything I wanted. It was, you know, it was cool at the time, but what ended up happening was somebody found out about it, broke in, robbed us, and then the neighbors called the cops. They thought they were helping me out, like they were getting burglarized or something. They called the cops, and the cops came, and they found like this elaborate setup, whatever. Long story short, we were at a bowling alley getting drunk for my friend's birthday. We were around the corner, we lived on Dead End Street, we were around the corner, sloppy drunk at 3 o'clock in the morning, and like the entire door was broken down my house. I was like, and he's like, should we run? I was like, how? And, so I went to jail that night. That was the first time that I ever went to jail. And I remember thinking, like, sitting there, like, I don't belong here. You know what I mean? I don't belong here. But I got arrested a couple times after that for various things. One time I got arrested because my friend told me he had a prescription that we could fill at 4 in the morning. And we went to Walgreens, and we sat in the drive-thru at Walgreens for about 20 minutes waiting for somebody to come, you know, drive through the prescription. We're waiting for somebody to come take over. I was like, dude, this is taking so long. I didn't realize it closed at like 10. And there was like 4 cop cars parked right next to us. And I didn't have a license. So one of them ran my tag and just came up to the door. He's like, Mr. Zippery, what the hell are you doing here? I ran up there just trying to get a prescription filled. And he was like, oh, come on. So I went to jail that time. And what happened? Well, after all, in between there, my parents intervened on me. Kind of knew what was going on. They found some drugs, and they knew I was drinking a lot. And they intervened on me, and they basically, I was on probation for the pot growing thing. They told me that if I didn't go to rehab, they were going to call the cops on me and make me do a drug test. I knew that I would fail. I knew I'd go back to jail. I was like, all right, I'm going to rehab. So I went to this rehab. It cost like $30,000 for a 28-day program. It's like a hotel. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. They cook you French toast and bacon every morning. It's like you just wake up, get fat, go back to sleep, and sleep all the groups. And I went in there and I did, you know, I went through the motions, I said the right things so that they would let me out in the end. They didn't really have a choice to let me out. But, you know, I never got sponsored. At that time, I was a drug addict, I wasn't an alcoholic, drinking wasn't a problem. And then I remember sitting at the, like, the graduation ceremony or whatever it was, and I remember telling all these people, like, probably going to smoke some pot, definitely going to drink, because that's not my problem. I just need to stop snorting oxys. Like, that's the problem. Obviously, because that's what makes me sick, like, when I don't have it. And they kind of told me that I was full of it, but it probably wasn't going to work, but I didn't want to be there in the first place. You know, I didn't want to hear anything that they had to say. So I got out, and I immediately started drinking again. And it led me right back into all the same thing, that started getting in trouble. Long story short, the same things happened. The whole thing with the Walgreens driver before the morning, that led me to jail again. I was still on probation. They basically told me, I stayed in jail this time for about 3 months. And I ended up in jail more than 24 hours before I got mom and dad, and was bailing me out. And it also, in between, it wasn't just that. Also, in between there, my parents were out of town, and I kind of broke into my parents' house. And while they were gone, I stole the keys to my dad's boat, decided I was going to go fishing. And I got like maybe 100 yards away from the dock, and crashed this $100,000 boat with a really big hole. So I just kind of cruised back, went back on the lift, and went home. Like, acting like nothing happened. But anyways, I ended up in jail. I sat there for about 3 months. And after the 3 month period, they were floating the idea of they wanted to send me to prison. Basically, what they wanted to do was send me to prison. And it's going to be however many points or however they do, it's supposed to be like 2.5 years. And I knew I wasn't going to get it. So I cried. Naked, you know, stabbed. They sent me to prison. They were like, all right, let's try this rehab. So I remember I went in front of the judge, and the judge told me basically that they were going to let me out on probation that day, and I was going to do a 3-time-per-week outpatient treatment program. And I was like, it's awesome, because that means I can do coke like 2 or 3 times a week. And just drink beer, and the beer will flush the other stuff out. I guess God decided that wasn't a good idea, and he spoke through my mother. He called my dad. Judge called my dad in there and said, what do you want us to do with your son? And he was like, just get him help. What he just needs help. And they called my mom up there. They were like, this is different. What he wants to do with your kid? She looked at the judge, and she was like, my kid's a danger to himself and everybody around him. He needs to be locked up. I was like, yeah, sure. Went to the 6-month-long treatment. But it ended up, I mean, it honestly saved my life. I said, I got a sponsor. He took me to meetings. The only reason that I really wanted to get a sponsor was because he took people to the young people's group. And the treatment center that I was in really kind of smelled bad. I didn't want to be there a lot. So I knew that if I did this, they would bring me to the meetings. And I don't know what, I didn't come in here as an alcoholic. I came here as a drug addict. I didn't believe that I had a drinking problem, even though I obviously did. I guess it was just one of those deals where I knew it was, if I stopped drinking, or if I admitted that I had an alcohol problem, then I wouldn't be able to drink anymore safely. And I couldn't admit that because I still wanted to drink. So really what happened for me was I caught alcoholism in AA. Got a sponsor, I was active for a while, did all the things that I was supposed to do, I guess. And I stayed sober for, I think I hit 3 years, I'm not really sure, because I stopped going to meetings in like 2.5 years. And I was just kind of dry drunk after that. Long story short, I was dating a girl. She became more important than anything else. We'd lean on each other, you know. It was the typical same AA relationship that you hear about, all of the same about drinking. So, I stayed out for a little while, and it was just miserable. Like, it was really miserable, and I knew I couldn't drink safely. So I didn't drink for a while, and I would just smoke pot. But every time I did, it was just, like, you didn't do the same thing. It was just, I only did it a few times. I took some pills here and there. I actually stole some dog pills from my dog. It was just anything. I would do anything but drink, because I knew, at that point, I knew that drinking was the main problem. I couldn't do that safely. So, that's just kind of the deal. I did that for a little while. And I remember the last time that I did this was February 10th. I smoked some pot, and I remember driving home from my friend's house. I took like 30 minutes to get there. And I wanted to stop this before I get some beer. So, and I was just like, this is like, why don't you just drink? Like, why not drink? You're not sober anymore. You might as well just drink. This is stupid. And like, there's this battle going on in my head. And, I wasn't winning. You can't win when you fight yourself. And I ended up calling my old sponsor. I texted him or something on the way home. I told him what was going on. And he took me to a meeting the next day. And luckily, I've been sober ever since. And I picked a new sponsor this time, not necessarily for anything that my old sponsor did wrong, because he didn't do anything wrong. I mean, a lot of the reason why I picked my sponsor this time was because I knew I could get through the steps fast because I work with him and I could see him. What happened right before I got sober, I got an amazing job. It's all the way in Sarasota. But I got an amazing job. I work with my sponsor now. I work with 3 other people in recovery. You know, I make good money. It's awesome. But I knew I'd see him every day. It was easy to talk to. I knew I'd get through the steps fast. So that's what I did. I got through the steps before I was 30 days sober. You know, I remember writing out a 4th step at like 8 or 9 days sober or something. I went up to him and I was like, look, I'm done. I wrote it out. I already done this, of course. I kind of knew the deal. And this was on like a Monday or Tuesday. He's like, all right, we'll meet up Saturday and we'll go down to Ballast Point. And we'll do a fifth step. Saturday? Seriously? Like, no, like now. Like, we're going to do this now. I'm probably going to jump off the sky tonight. So he sat down and just did it. You know, he took time out. He stayed late at work and just busted it out. I started making amends. You know, the big thing for me this time was making amends. I didn't do that last time. I did not make amends. And I went to a men's advance a couple months ago. When the speaker, it hit me for some reason. And the speaker was talking about how he's never seen somebody who's gotten done with all their amends drinking. And I started to think about it. And I was like, I didn't make amends. You know? So this time I've been trying to do that. Part of that is my family. You know? most of the finances of my family. But I can spend time with them now. I can contribute. You know what I mean? I just got back this weekend. I went down to Key with my father. It was awesome. You know, I like fishing. We went fishing together. It was the most amazing fishing trip I've ever had. More importantly than that, me and my dad both love fishing. I got to do it with my father. You know, when we got back, he told me how much it meant to him that he spent time with me. He didn't have to worry about me the whole time. You know, that kind of stuff. He told me that he was proud of me. Proud of me. Birthday, like a couple weeks, 2 weeks ago or something. And my dad's not like a sappy, like lovey kind of guy, but he got me this card. And like usually the cards he gets is like the girl with the bikini with the black things over, like, open this card, the black things are removing the shit out, you know what I'm saying? And like funny stuff like that. He got me this card, and it was like a nice card. And on the inside of it, he's like, I love you, I can never ask for a better son, I'm proud of what you've become, all this kind of stuff. And I'm sitting there, I'm reading it. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. Like, I ran into this guy's life than anybody ever has. You know, and I just don't deserve it. And that's, I have to remind myself of that constantly because I still think of the title of things. I still think that, you know, people piss me off at work. My boss is on me and I'm like, who are you? Like, or I made you $1 million. Who are you talking to? Stuff like that. It's like, that's wrong. You know what I mean? Because I don't deserve what I have. And I know that. But I have to remind myself. Constant struggle to do that. I don't know, like, right now, I have nothing to complain about. I do. I complain constantly, but I really have nothing to complain about. I have a house, I just got a new car, I got awesome friends. It was real awkward coming back because I saw all my old friends again, but you got to use it because they don't. It's hard coming back today. So if you're thinking about drinking and coming back, just don't do it because it sucks. You're glad you're there, but you're real stupid.